Would you join me in praying? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Tonight I want to talk about the prophetic purpose of Messianic synagogues and how we fit into God's promise to restore the Jewish people through the new covenant and Yeshua the Messiah. And I want to start by paying attention to Shabbat, which is mentioned in the first verses of this week's Torah readings. And then I want to tell you a little bit about how God called me into the Messianic movement, things he did that gave me vision and changed my heart. And I want to talk also a little bit about the times and seasons in Messianic congregational life and how we can embrace change in order to fulfill our prophetic purpose as a Messianic synagogue. Well, this is our last weekend in the book of Exodus, Sefer Shemot. Can you say Shemot? Or you can say it faster, Shemot? That's even better. And we read a double portion, a double parsha, Vayechel and Pekodei. Tonight I want to start with Exodus chapter 35, the first three verses, the beginning of this week's reading. Then Moses gathered all the children, all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath or a Shabbat of rest dedicated to the Lord." Shabbat is one of the foundational ways that God gives the Jewish people identity, forms us into a community, and helps us to be a visible testimony to the whole world. And as a Messianic Jew, I embrace Shabbat. It's part of who I am. As a Jew, as a Messianic Jew, and as a member of a Messianic synagogue. Look in verse 2. It says, "Work shall be done for 6 days." Now, everybody who only has to go to work for 5 days, I want you to thank the Lord right now, because you are getting a 16% discount off of this verse. And then it continues, the seventh day. And when it says the seventh day, you have to understand how days are counted. It's from evening to evening. So it's from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That seventh day is a holy day for you, which means it's a day that's set apart from every other day. It has a special purpose, it has special functions, and it has its own limits. And it says this is to be a Shabbat of rest dedicated to the Lord. Yeshua said Shabbat was made for man. It's for our own good. We need it. It's for us. But it says that it's to the Lord. It's a Shabbat to the Lord. So that tells us it's not just about us taking rest for ourselves. It's about us resting from the other 6 days of labor and activity in dedicating this one 24-hour period to the Lord. This Shabbat is different from all other days. Now, when Yeshua said Shabbat was made for man, I understand it means it's for our good, we need it, and it helps to understand why we need it. It helps us balance our lives. It helps us establish a lifestyle of worship and a Yeshua-centered, Messianic Jewish lifestyle. And it also helps us to commit ourselves within a community. Now, parents, let me speak to you for just a moment. It's important to give our children synagogue experience on Shabbat. The Proverbs say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. I'm grateful that my parents took me to synagogue on Friday night and Saturday morning. We didn't always go every week, but it was part of our life. It was part of our identity. And it helped form a strong part of my own identity and who I am. And I thank God that my parents gave me the experience of coming to synagogue for the holidays. We never went to school during the Jewish holidays. Not one time. and my parents didn't work. If there were exams on those days, my parents would go and talk to the school principal and organize for us to take them at other times. No matter what was going on, we never went to school. And we understood that was because we were Jewish and we were called to be in the synagogue and to worship on that day. And I'm also thankful that my parents gave me the experience of celebrating Passover Seder at home every year. My dad was very innovative, and he would lead a fresh new Seder every year. And that was a challenge because there were a total of 6 children to keep occupied. And he had wonderful ways of engaging us and bringing us into high levels of participation. And we always looked forward to it, though there was one year where we actually found one part of Passover we didn't enjoy, if I remember right. My mother was a smoker, and somehow the iced tea that was served that night didn't taste right. And mixed in with the tea bags were one of her old cigarettes. And to this day, I can remember that. Because as we're all drinking our iced tea and the kids are going, yeah, this tastes terrible. What is it? And, what can go wrong with iced tea? We had a curious enough bunch of kids in my family that someone decided they're going to investigate. What is the cause of this terrible iced tea? And I don't know if they stuck their hand in. I don't remember who it was. But someone fished out one of my mother's cigarettes. She was the only one who smoked, and it was her brand, and she was the guilty party. We don't know how it got in there, but that was all an opportunity for us to wag our finger at our mother and lecture her on the dangers of smoking. I'll never forget that. If your parents gave you experiences of coming and worshiping in synagogue, you can really thank the Lord for them. And you can give your children an advantage by giving them those same experiences. Even if your family didn't grow up with synagogue experience, if you give your children the experience of coming on Shabbat, Friday, and Saturday and learning how to use Shabbat, it will stay with them. Even if they're tempted to veer from it, they'll be able to come back to it later in life. Now, I want to give you a little footnote here from modern American Messianic Jewish history. 20 years ago, many Messianic congregations in America met on Friday night and Sunday mornings. And the reason they did it, I didn't understand it, because 20 years ago, I was just becoming interested in the Messianic movement. But I talked to a few rabbis, and they were willing to tell me the truth when I said, well, why do you do this? And they said, well, we're trying to build commitment with our people, and we want our people to be here in our congregation. So if we have it on Sunday, they have to choose. Either they're with us or they're somewhere else. If they go to a church, we don't want to build with them. And it wasn't anything against churches per se, but they didn't want to build with people who were Messianic on Friday and churchgoers on Sunday. They wanted to build with people who were committed to the congregation. And so there was this season where, in order to like grab hold of their time, they scheduled worship on Sunday mornings. Now, what's interesting to me is there came a time when they all that I know of, gave up that pattern. And the reason they did was because the Jewish people in their congregation and the non-Jews who had joined in, they started getting deep Messianic Jewish vision. And they wanted to return to a stronger Jewish pattern, and they stopped being afraid of the competition, if you will. And so they made hard decisions to emphasize Saturday and Shabbat and to have a Torah service. And the main reason was they wanted to follow the pattern the Lord had given the Jewish people in which Yeshua himself followed. Because they kept saying, we're Messianic, that means we do what Yeshua did. We're Jewish, that means we follow a Jewish pattern. And the members And eventually the rabbis said, yeah, but then why are we meeting Sunday instead of on Yom Shabbat and having a Torah service like Yeshua would participate in? And so now it's so interesting. If you're talking with Messianic Jewish rabbis in America today, some of them will say, if a congregation doesn't have a Torah service on Saturday, it's not really a Messianic Jewish congregation, even if it's in Israel. And I actually feel accountable to follow that pattern of Shabbat with the full Shabbat and Saturday Torah service, because it's important for worship and Torah teaching and being a true synagogue for our Jewish people. And it's a challenge for our congregation to make that kind of shift in emphasis. It's not impossible. It's just hard. It's really hard. And I want to encourage you to just bear with the difficulties as we're trying to work through this in order to have a strong Saturday, a stronger Saturday than we have historically. Well, it raises the question, what's the purpose of a Messianic synagogue like ours? And I think if we're going to answer that question, I'm just going to take a few more minutes to do that. And I'll also say something, that some of the people have been complaining that the Friday night service is too short and that the message is too short and everything is too short and the rabbi is too short. And so I've been experimenting to see if I vary the length of time, can anybody tell? Last week, my message was 29 minutes and 58 seconds long, and no one noticed. I was looking to see who was going to complain and say, well, Rabbi, that was too long, or who was going to say it's too short or whatever, but I didn't hear from anybody that week. It was interesting. Maybe that's a good number to go for, 29:58. I don't know, but we'll go just take a few more minutes, because I want to have you remember the purpose of our Messianic synagogue. You see, God has promised to restore the Jewish people to himself. And the way he's going to do it, he says, is through the new covenant and through Messiah Yeshua. And I want you to look at an important prophetic scripture that speaks to us. It's in Jeremiah 23. Starting in verse 3. You can listen as I read this to you. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their... Fill in the blank. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what you think the Lord is going to bring them back. And don't cheat by looking in your Bible. Normally, I like you to look in your Bible. If you already looked, don't tell the person next to you. Let them tell you. But I'll congratulate you for having looked. So bring them back to their... When I've done this with other people, most say, bring them back to their lands, their land. And the reason is, most prophetic scriptures say that. But this one says something different. It says, bring them back to their folds, or their sheepfolds. In other words, bring them back into a flock where they are cared for. And if we understand what does it mean to bring the Jewish people back into a flock, it means bring them back into a congregational life where there's community. And it says they'll be fruitful and they'll increase. And then verse 4 says, I will set up, what does your Bible say? I will set up. Shepherds, everybody who has a Bible, and you can read it in one voice, give me the answer. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. You see, the shepherds are the ones who are caring for the flock. And so I understand that for congregations to thrive, we need Messianic rabbis. So this is saying that God is going to do a work of gathering the Jewish people in the diaspora, and bringing them into congregations. And I understand it's Messianic Jewish congregations. and that God will raise up leaders, messianic rabbis, who will shepherd the people and feed them, and they won't fear anymore, and they won't be dismayed, and they won't be lacking. And then verses 5 and 6 make a reference to Messiah. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness." And it's traditional Jewish understanding that the phrase branch of righteousness is a description of Messiah. A king will reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So verses 5 and 6 are clearly talking about Messiah. Verse 3 is talking about a restoration of the Jewish people that brings Jews into congregations. And verse 4 is talking about God raising up shepherds, messianic rabbis who take care of the flock. And so the messianic Jewish revival is connected to messianic Jewish congregations and rabbis. And all of these things are part of the prophetic word. And so they really help us understand what the messianic movement is all about. It's not just individuals coming to the Lord, though that's important. It is a move that causes congregations to develop. Why is Moment Magazine able to focus this week on messianic Jews? Because we have a visible presence as congregations. We're not just scattered or hid in invisible places. I want to tell you a little bit about my own experience. When I came to the Lord, it was because one Gentile Christian who loved God told me about the faithfulness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke to me in such ways that were astonishing about God's love and faithfulness to the Jewish people. And when I asked him why he was so good at talking to me, a Jew, he said it's because the Holy Spirit was telling him what to say. That made me fascinated in the Holy Spirit. And through that whole process, I decided I would pray one day and ask God if it were true that Yeshua was the Messiah. And then I made this terrible promise. It was a high-risk promise. I said, if he is, I'll follow him. I actually said these words, I will do what is appropriate. And I understood that meant I would follow him. And when Yeshua came to me and revealed himself and called me by my name, I heard him in a spiritual way calling me. At that moment, I understood it was time to pay up because I promised God something. I didn't want to do it at that moment. Have you ever made a promise to God and then as soon as he fulfills his part, you renege? Am I the only one here? Okay, a few of us have that. So I promised God that I would follow him, and it took me several months to actually decide to jump in wholeheartedly. But eventually, I did decide, but because I was in a non-Jewish setting, I had to keep my own Jewish existence for myself. And so Sandy and I had habits of spending Friday night reading and praying, and Saturday we would dedicate to the Lord whenever we could, even though we were in a Gentile church situation. And we were just waiting, what's the right situation for us? And it wasn't until 1991 in December that I really understood that I could find my place in the Messianic movement. I've written about it in my book In That Day. I don't have time to talk about it today in the way I would like to. But in December 91, when I was visiting a Messianic Jewish congregation in Rochester, New York, Congregation Shema Yisrael, I had an experience with God that changed me forever. Because I saw that God was saying favor to Zion, and that's why the state of Israel was established. That's why the Jews and the diaspora started coming back to the land. That's why Israel was chartered. And that's why Jerusalem was reunited, because God was saying favor to Zion. And at that point, when God showed me he had been working for so long in this way, it just touched my heart so deeply. And though at that time I was a pastor in a Christian church, but I was a Jew trying to figure out how do I fit in, that was the moment when I understood God was giving me an opportunity to be part of the Messianic movement. And while I was crying hot rivers of tears, the Holy Spirit said something so gentle and so firm. He said, I started without you, and I can finish without you. But if you want to help, you can. And I was crying, I want to help. And though I'm not impulsive, that day I went back to my office and I wrote a letter of resignation so that I could be a member of a Messianic congregation. I would have rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, no matter what it cost me. And so I came into the Messianic movement not because I could use my gifts or because it was going to be personally fulfilling, but because I understood what God had put in my heart was to serve my people and God's promise to restore my people to himself. And even if it cost me my job, even if it cost me my social circle, I was willing to do it. And I did it. And I did it because I understood Yeshua has always been looking for disciples, not for adherents. He's been looking for people who will follow him in his ministry to the Jewish people. I could say so much about this, I just don't have time. At the end of our Torah reading this week, we come to the conclusion of Sefer Shemot, and it tells us that there was a cloud that would be over the tabernacle. And when it was time to move, the cloud would move. And Israel had to learn something, that there are times and seasons, and when God wanted the people to move, he made it clear. It didn't matter whether it was pleasant where they were or good or effective where they were. When God was ready to move, the people needed to get ready to move. And I've learned something for myself, that change is very hard. How many of us are on that side where we say change is difficult? Change is difficult, but it's not impossible. And the key to change that I found is to hold on to purpose and to get fresh vision for purpose. Why is Israel in this particular place in the desert? Because that's where God is. Not because it's lovely. And when God is moving Israel forward, it doesn't matter how lovely the desert is. Why? Because Israel's purpose is not to be in the desert. Israel's purpose is to move forward. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make it clear to you? So it doesn't matter how nice the desert dwelling is, Israel's on a journey. I can tell you as a Messianic rabbi that one of the greatest challenges for me is to lead during times of change. I'm glad I didn't have to lead during that season when Messianic congregations were giving up Sundays. Because there were a lot of people, I heard about it, there are a lot of people who said, what? How can you do this? And the strongest voices, if you can hear this, were the ones who had grown up as children worshiping on Sunday. But the Jews who had experience Saturday, we're yearning for Saturday, not Sunday. Do you hear what I'm saying? How many can hear this? It's a little difficult, I understand. But I want us to be aware of something. There are a lot of important challenges in front of us. And we need to face them with new approaches and new solutions. And I can tell you, I need your support, and I need your understanding, and I need your strength. And I know God's trying to take us into something good, not to harm us. I can tell you at other times, how do you embrace change when change is difficult, but you know it's going to happen? I don't have time for that. But I can tell you this, because we are connected to the Jewish people, we will live and breathe by repetitions of Jewish experience. The things that our people went through, we will go through. And Israel keeps moving as it's moving forward. It can never get stuck along the journey. You and I are on a journey. And we're called to keep moving forward. And as we do, you know what? We need to strengthen each other. We need to encourage each other. No wonder we come to the end of Exodus on this weekend so that tomorrow we'll say, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazak. Be strong, and let us strengthen one another. Why? Because we need strength right now. These are difficult times, tumultuous times, and every one of us has great challenges. I've spoken much longer than I planned to speak on a Friday night. I appreciate your patience. Speaking for some of the adults now, I understand. Mommy, that rabbi went too long. It's okay. It's okay. We're a family here. We can... As we're getting ready to close, you know, the people who are listening by podcast to this message, who knows what they're going to do? Let me just talk for a minute to anyone who's ready to turn your life around, whether you're here in the room or you're going to hear by podcast. The best decision you can ever make is to put your trust in God and to submit yourself to Yeshua the Messiah. The incredible blessings that God has for you require that you turn away from a life of independence from God and all the sin that is connected to that. And when you turn to God and you take the first steps of what really is a lifelong journey, when you welcome God's holiness into your life, you begin to experience His love, and healing will come to you, freedom will come to you, and truth will come to you that will bless you in every part of your life. If you've decided to follow Yeshua, please tell me. You can tell me in person if you're here, or you can email me at rabbidavid@bethisraelnow.com, and I'll rejoice with you and ask God to help you on the journey. When I started and took the first steps of my journey with Yeshua in 1976, I had no idea where it was going to lead, but I knew it was going to be challenging and full of blessing, and it surely has. It will be the same for you as well. Let's close by praying. Lord, thank you that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever, and you are committed to blessing us, to blessing our families, to strengthening us, and to enabling us to go forward. Help our congregation as we move forward with you. I pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. If you have children with you of any age, lay your hand on them. If they're your sons, speak this blessing. May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. Yasimcha Elohim ka Ephraim v'chimnasheh. Your daughters, whether they're in the room or somewhere else, may God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Yasimech Elohim ka Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. Men, if you have a wife, look at, if she's in the room, you can look at her. You can even kiss her. This is the kissing time of our service. And speak these words from Proverbs 31. Join me. A woman of valor, who can find? She is worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he profits greatly thereby. Eshet chayil mi yimtza v'rachuk. Mipninim michra, betach ba lev ba'ala v'shalal lo yechsar. Let's all stand up together. Normally, this is the time when my wife comes, but she's not here. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin and I got the word tonight about wearing green, but Eric Painter surpassed us all. If you look back there, he is the greenest among us. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'era Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to be continually shining upon you. And the Lord pour out his favor and grace upon you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shalom. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Come join us for Oneg. We have a special Oneg tonight.